Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening here in the Northwoods, the second Wednesday of 2025. And, you know, we did start the new year having some guest hosts in last week. We had John Long in the house, and this week we got a brand new host in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Matt Tyler to the show. Matt, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Of course. Matt, first off, let me ask, how was your holidays?
It was good. It was good. How about you?
Had a lot of fun. Went down to southern Wisconsin to see some family.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'll tell you who did not have a good start to the new year. And I think that everybody knows where we're going. And that would be Green Bay. So let's go ahead and start off with some Packers. Well, if there's a way to just slide into the playoffs, just look at what happened to Green Bay over the last couple of games. Packers end their regular season on a whimper. Their 11-game winning streak against the Bears ends, losing 24-22 at Lambeau this past Sunday. Packers finish the 2024 season with an 11-6 record. Two more wins than they had last year, and the most wins they've had since 2021. The bad news is that Christian Watson went down with a non-contact knee injury, later to be revealed that it was a torn ACL, which means he'll be out for the rest of the year and likely for the start of 2025. Plus, Jordan Love also left the game with an elbow injury. Malik Willis finished mop-up duty. Just a lot of miscues for Green Bay overall. They had two lost fumbles, including one inside the Chicago 30. 94-yard punt return from the Bears' Josh Blackwell. A couple failed fourth down stops. A muff snap on a fake punt. Poor clock management. It was just a crap show, if you will, from Green Bay on Sunday. So, Matt, I'll ask you this. What was the biggest reason Green Bay lost on Sunday?
You know, there's so many things that you talked about. I know, listening to interviews with Matt LaFleur, he talked about playing an entire game, and they didn't play an entire game. Lack of focus. You know, there's just too many miscues, too many penalties. I think one of the biggest things that we forget a little bit, and I want to give them a little leeway on this, is it's still the youngest team in the NFL.
Yes.
But you need to develop better habits when it comes to the stupid penalties, the turnovers, the miscue, that fumble or the punt return. You have to pick up the football.
Yes.
I mean, great play by Chicago. I've seen that work once or twice before. That was a fantastic play, and they deked out everybody.
They really did. And the weird thing is that they ran that over a decade ago, but the reason why it didn't count is because it got called back for a holding penalty. The only other team I've seen run that successfully were the Rams, with Tavon Austin and Stedman Bailey a few years ago. I mean, look, I don't think that anyone expected Green Bay to lose this game. I certainly didn't. Because the Bears were coming in at 4-12, 10-game losing streak, 11 straight losses to the Packers. They were just looking to see how high of a draft pick they're going to get. And they're going to get a top 10 pick when we look at the draft order later on. This is not the kind of game that you want to have going into the playoffs.
No, it isn't. The Minnesota game, different game. Minnesota's a really good football team.
Yes, they are.
It pains me to say that, but they are very good. The Bears, I don't know, is it two times that Green Bay just played horribly, or are they just a really bad matchup for Green Bay?
It's hard for me to say, because going 1-5 in the division is not something that I think Packers fans are used to. They're not, at least in my lifetime. You know, you obviously Absolutely. Are a lot older than I am, so you know what it's like to go through the dark days of Green Bay in the 70s and 80s. But I think what it is that it's more of the rivalry. I didn't necessarily expect this kind of nip and tuck. And plus, division games are always wonky. You never know what you're going to get when it comes to this, to be honest with you.
Absolutely, and it's a change for me from this. For the last 15 to 20 years, it has been Minnesota that no matter how good or how bad they are, they play Green Bay tough.
Yes.
It's a little different now to expect Chicago to be in that position, but times are changing. And with the amount of high draft picks they're getting and the cap space that they have to acquire talent, they're getting better. There's nothing we can do about it. I still think that's a really sloppy game that Green Bay played, though.
And here's where I'm going to place the blame. Listen, I've been critical of Matt LaFleur in the past. I don't think that he's a bad coach by any stretch of the imagination, but you had Aaron Rodgers for two MVP seasons. You couldn't get to a Super Bowl. You have been to two conference championship games. You fell short against San Francisco. 49ers were the better team, no question about that. But you lose at home to Tampa Bay, and you lose at home to San Francisco in the divisional round. Matt LaFleur's playoff record is currently 3-4 in his 6 years with Green Bay. And I've given him a bit of leeway because the transition from Rodgers to Love was very messy, right? Because it's back-to-back times when a Hall of Fame quarterback has unceremoniously left in Green Bay. But he did not call a good game on Sunday. He did not. If that was one of the worst called games I've seen Matt LaFleur play in a long time.
And here's what I don't understand lately about the Packers. They come out and they run Josh Jacobs early in the first quarter, and Josh Jacobs the last, I don't know, 5-6 games has been stellar in the first quarter.
Yes.
And it seems like they completely go away from that. Now, I understand in this game, when the injury started happening, they pulled Josh Jacobs.
Yes.
Right move to do. I get that.
Yes.
But I don't understand going away completely from Josh Jacobs because he has been so good towards the end of the year.
I would agree with that. And here's the other thing that I point to. Green Bay got the ball. Carrington Valentine, by the way, this kid is turning into a player. I don't know if he'll be the number one corner, but he's certainly worked his way into a starting role at least for next year. He made two unbelievable plays in the final 2 minutes of that game. The forced fumble on DJ Moore and the tackle on the kickoff as well, because the Bears were trying to pull a fast one on Green Bay with the reverse, and he made one of the better special teams tackles you'll see. What I don't understand for the life of me is with under a minute to go, the Packers decide to run the ball on 3rd-and-2. They get stopped for 2 yards, and it's Matt LaFleur that calls that timeout before Brandon McManus trots on for the field goal. If you force the Bears to call that timeout, and then they end up finding a way to win the game, then we put it squarely on Jeff Hafley. But I don't understand for the life of me why he called a timeout in that situation.
I don't either, other than the only thing I can think of is he wasn't sure if he was going to kick it or go for it at that point. I'm not trying to make an excuse for him because I agree with you, Alex. Let's let them call the timeout, and that would have been the difference in the game.
Yes.
The Bears, let's face it, I've watched the Bears only a couple times. Their clock management is horrible.
Yeah.
It's as bad as I've ever seen in professional football. But I agree with you. The other part of it I look at is, too, on that the third down play, the way that Jeff Hafley set up that offense where they had three receivers on one side, one on the other. There was a picture that I saw from the sideline, and I think, how many yards did the Bears have to go for that? 15, 18, something like that?
About 15, 18 yards, give or take.
There were only 8 Green Bay Packers in the picture defensively. Now, there were 11 on the field, but why you're not doubling the lone receiver off to the side is beyond me.
They were playing for a Hail Mary, and they're not going to do that in that situation. You had Keyshawn Nixon, I believe, one-on-one with, I think it was DJ Moore on the outside, and you had only 8 players in that, and I was there. I was watching that game up in the press box, and I'm looking at the formation that Chicago has of how they're stacking 3 guys up, and I'm wondering, okay, what do they possibly have in store? And then I see the 3 safeties back, and my head just immediately went, they're going to DJ Moore. They're going to DJ Moore. I saw it coming a mile away, and credit to them. I thought Green Bay, they had an opportunity to block that Santos field goal as well, like they had did in the first game, and it just didn't come to fruition.
We should have never been in that position to start with.
I agree.
And again, we've flipped back and forth here between the offense and the defense, and I've got my bone to pick with the defense a little bit.
But
the offense has to score more points than that against the Chicago Bears.
Yes, they have to score more than 22 points against Chicago. Here are some other things. Green Bay's pass rush in 2 games against the Bears. Caleb Williams, the Bears have the worst offensive line in the NFL. Caleb Williams has surrendered the most sacks in the NFL. The Packers had 1 sack on Caleb Williams in 2 games.
He was sacked 66 times coming into that game. And what I don't understand, the other games I watched, Caleb Williams all of a sudden looks like Barry Sanders against the Packers. He ducks under tacklers.
He
pivots. The other games, the players aren't missing him.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he all of a sudden becomes Barry Sanders or Gale Sayers when we play him.
Yeah. Now the other thing to point out also is that this turned out to be a wash. As frustrating and as disappointing as it was, it turned out to be a wash because Washington ended up beating Dallas on Sunday as well. So Washington was going to get the sixth seed regardless. But still, you have to find a way to win that game.
Yeah, and that's when you have a young team in your building, that's one of the things is you have to win ugly. You have to win games when you're not supposed to win games.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to develop a culture.
Yeah, so Green Bay is going to be getting the seventh seed regardless. And they go to Philadelphia, which is who they started the season off with in Brazil. I'm just going to say this right off the bat. If Green Bay plays against the Eagles like they did against the Bears, it is going to be over by halftime.
Agreed. The Eagles are coming off some injuries, key injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're relatively healthy, the Eagles are a nightmare matchup.
They are.
Between Saquon Barkley, not only running, but people forget he catches the ball very well for running. Maybe one of the best. And then you have A.J. Brown, and you have Devontae Smith on the outside, and then you also have the threat of Jalen Hurts running. That's a tough matchup.
It is. The best way to beat Philadelphia is to force Jalen Hurts to throw the ball down the field.
Absolutely.
That, to be honest with you.
Yep. And I think the guy that could, if the Packers win this game, the key defensive player to me is going to be Edgerrin Cooper.
Yes.
Because Edgerrin Cooper is able to, his angles and his speed to cut down the guys on the run. And is he going to spy Jalen Hurts during this game?
That's the best steal of the draft that Green Bay
Absolutely.
Had, by the way. Edgerrin Cooper, who was the first player since Clay Matthews in 2010 to win NFC Defensive Player of the Year twice in one season. Let's talk about some other bright spots, by the way, for Green Bay. The biggest one was Josh Jacobs, the best free agent signing. He finishes the season with over 1,300 yards rushing. He's the first Packer to do that since Amon Green in 2003. The other one, he's also the first Packer to have 15 rushing touchdowns in a season since Aaron Jones in 2019. And the 15 rushing touchdowns is tied for the third most in franchise history with Amon Green in 2003 and Jim Taylor back in 1961. Wow. But that's very elite company for the new Packers running back. And also, the hardware, by the way, continued again for Xavier McKinney. First Packer with 8 interceptions in a season since Charles Woodson in 2009. And he also was named to the NFL Players Association All-Pro team earlier today.
And the Josh Jacobs one. I know that this is a touchy one with people because people loved Aaron Jones.
Yes.
And I was an Aaron Jones fan. But Josh Jacobs is a year younger. And Aaron Jones, this might have been the first year that Aaron Jones was relatively healthy for the most of the year.
Yes.
If you remember with the Packers, he did not have a full year, I don't think, except maybe his rookie year.
Maybe a couple of years. Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe 1 or 2 years sprinkled in there. So again, Josh Jacobs is better. He's younger and he fits what Green Bay is trying to build a culture of, which is run the ball, control the clock, and get physical with opponents. They're trying to change cultures on the fly because when you had Rodgers and you had Love in for his career, they were flinging it all over the lot. You know, the Packers were putting up 30 points a game, 350 passing yards a game. But on the other hand, they were also getting schooled defensively. So they're trying to change that.
Right. And, with their receiving core, Green Bay does not have a true number one.
No, they don't.
But I like the receiving core 1 through 4, 1 through 5 is really, really good.
Yes.
Now, the loss of Christian Watson is a big deal. Not that you look at his numbers and go, wow, he had a great year. He had a good year, but Christian Watson stretches the field.
Yeah.
Even when he doesn't catch the deep ball, he opens up the middle for Dobbs and Reed and Kraft.
Yeah, and this is what I think the sad part is because I really liked him coming out of North Dakota State. I fear he might have played his last game in Green Bay, unfortunately, because he was due up for an extension also at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I'm not comparing this guy talent-wise to him, but do you remember Jared Aberderis?
Yes.
They're built similar in that I don't think they can put on any more muscle or any more weight.
No.
And that's a grown man's league right there. So
exactly.
It's tough.
So, again, the Packers finish with 11 wins on the season. They finish 11-6, two more than they had last year, and it's their fifth playoff appearance in 6 years under head coach Matt LaFleur. Let's quickly go over some of the other results that we had from Week 18. There were a couple of wonky ones, but that's understandable with a lot of players getting benched. One that wasn't wonky, Baltimore over Cleveland, 35-10. Lamar Jackson becomes the first player in NFL history with over 4,000 passing yards and 800 rushing yards in a season. Cincinnati defeating Pittsburgh 19-17. Steelers are now going into the playoffs on a four-game losing streak. Philadelphia over the Giants 20-13. New England over Buffalo 23-16. Bills didn't play much of their starters. Houston over Tennessee 23-14. This to me was a bigger shocker than Green Bay over Chicago. Carolina over Atlanta in overtime 44-38. Washington over Dallas 23-19. Colts defeat Jaguars in overtime 26-23. Tampa Bay over New Orleans 27-19. Denver shutting out the Chiefs third stringers 38-0. Chargers over Raiders 34-20. Jets over Dolphins 32-20. Cardinals dominating the 49ers 47-24. Seahawks ending their season with a 30-25 win over the Rams. And Detroit over Minnesota 31-9. Now taking a look at the draft order. So, again, next year's NFL draft is going to be held in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Matt, will you be there?
I will not, but my son Kyle is so excited. He's already taken off for work. He's got a friend that lives over there that he's going to stay. No, I probably will not go, although it would be interesting to say the least, but it's going to be wild,
yes,
I think.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I will put this for perspective. I will actually be going. I'll be going as a fan and I'm also trying to go as a media member as well, because my sister-in-law, whose family are huge sports fans like we are, they decided to book an Airbnb in Kaukauna for the weekend, for the whole draft weekend. So we're going to be spending time in there and getting everything set up. So these are going to be, go ahead.
I wonder how Airbnb rates went up as soon as they announced the Packers were going to get the draft.
I can only imagine. I'd have to ask how much my poll is with that. So.
Yeah.
So looking, by the way, at the NFL draft order now for the non-playoff teams, it is set. This is what the draft order is. We're going to start at the bottom and work our way up. Seattle will have the number 18 pick, Cincinnati 17, Arizona 16, Atlanta 15, Indianapolis 14, Miami 13, Dallas 12, San Francisco 11. In the top 10, Chicago has the 10th pick. New Orleans has number 9. Carolina has number 8. New York Jets have number 7. Las Vegas, number 6. Jacksonville, number 5. New England, number 4. The New York Giants have number 3. Hang
on. All hail the New York Giants!
New York Giants!
I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
That's awesome. That and the lead-in in your show with Wolfman Jack was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So the Giants have the 3rd pick. Cleveland has number 2, which means the number 1 overall pick goes to the Tennessee Titans. They are officially on the clock for the number 1 overall pick. And this will be only the 3rd time in franchise history that the Titans have had the pick, back when they were the Oilers in the 70s. The other 2 number 1 picks they used on were John Matuszak,
Earl Campbell from
Bingo.
Tyler, Texas.
Yes, Earl Campbell, the Hall of Fame running back. So that's a little bit of the draft order. Now let's go on to the playoff matchups that we have for this upcoming. And by the way, Matt's going to be picking games with me during the second part of this show.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to remind my coworkers that I beat them in the Pick'em League this year?
You can if you like. All right. So we got an expert in here. So these are the matchups. The first off in the AFC, the first 3 games will be AFC. Saturday at 3:30, number 4 Houston, who kind of slid into the playoffs. They have the number 5 seed LA Chargers, which will be an interesting matchup. That'll be on CBS. At 7 o'clock on Saturday, AFC North battle in Baltimore, the Steelers and the Ravens on Amazon Prime. On Sunday at noon, it'll be the Buffalo Bills and the Denver Broncos on CBS, 2 seed against 7 seed. 3:30 Sunday will be the Packer game, the Eagles and Packers. We'll have the broadcast of that game for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. If you prefer to watch it, it'll be on Fox. Then this is the matchup that's very intriguing. Number 3 seed Tampa Bay at home against number 6 seed Washington. That's going to be at 7 o'clock Sunday night on CBS. And then the 4-5 matchup, number 4 seed LA Rams at home against the number 5 seed Minnesota Vikings. That's Monday night at 7 on ESPN. Very quickly, Matt, before we go to break, which of those wildcard matchups outside of the Packer-Eagle one you think you'd like the most?
Oh, boy. The Viking-Rams game. The Rams beat the Vikings earlier, and there were some really bad missed calls. I'm sure that's probably not sitting well with the Vikings, so there's some retribution there. That would probably be the one that stands out
That'd be the one that stands out. Yeah. I'm very curious with Tampa Bay and Washington, because I don't know if people know this. I'm going to bring this up, because I had to look at it, by the way, after the season was over. Baker Mayfield finished the season with 4,500 yards passing and 41 touchdowns.
That's a great year.
That is a great year, and he was without Mike Evans for 4 games, and he was without Chris Godwin for 10. Tampa Bay's second leading receiver was Cade Otton, their tight end.
I'm ashamed to say I never heard of him.
not a lot of people have. I mean, that's the craziest thing about them. In Washington, you've got the probable rookie of the year in Jaden Daniels coming in, and the thing with Washington is they did something that I thought was very smart. They surrounded Jaden Daniels with weapons, reliable guys, guys that knew their roles. Terry McLaurin, he's a legit number one receiver in this league. People forget about that. Zach Ertz has been a reliable tight end for many, many years. You went out and got Jamison Crowder and Olamide Zaccheaus, and they had a very good offensive line to protect Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, and Jaden Daniels, you know, people can say what they want, and they say if they would redraft Jaden Daniels, it would go number one. I'm not so sure. He's had better talent around him than Caleb Williams has.
Yes.
Let's talk about that again in 5 years to see if that's still the case, but he sure is a good player.
Yeah, well said. Very well said. It's 5:53 here at our WJJQ studios. We'll talk some more NFL after the break. Coming up later on, we've got a jam-packed show for you. Hatchet hockey coaches Dewey Riley's going to join the show. I also got the chance to talk to Mosinee hockey coach Keith Kuklinski to preview the Tomahawk-Mosinee hockey game tomorrow. Plus, Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee is coming on. He's going to talk Bucks in the second part of the show. We've got a lot coming up for you here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. High school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
The ice is ready. Are you? Stop by at Vigod Stewart Express of Tomahawk for all your ice fishing needs. Select from the popular brands of ice augers. Check out the selection of fish locators. Find lacrosse boots in ice armor gloves and mittens. Vigod Stewart Express also offers live bait and a nice selection of tip-ups. Vigod Stewart Express, North 4th Street in Tomahawk, your ice fishing headquarters.
Let Carrier provide quiet, efficient heating all winter with innovative solutions for premium comfort available at Hilgi's LP Gas. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. And you can learn the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/purifier. Hilgi's LP Gas, proudly serving our Northwoods area since 1958. Hilgi's, for your healthy heating comfort, call 453-3505 or visit hilgi's.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Are you curious what's the value of your home? Have you been thinking now is a good time to upgrade or downsize? Hi, this is Tim Nelson, Associate Broker at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. It's my desire to treat people like family, to care, and provide a phenomenal real estate experience. I will work very hard to ensure you are successful and have peace of mind in your buying and selling experience. Buying and selling real estate can be very stressful, difficult, and intense, but I'm determined to help folks thrive, be confident, and get great results. It would be an honor to care and serve you, your loved ones, and friends. Thank you, and have an awesome day.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Matt Tyler here with you from our WJJQ studios on this chilly, chilly winter night. You know, the funny thing is, if you have heard Matt's voice before, then you would be correct, because Matt also has done color commentary with me for a lot of sports. He's done work with me for volleyball. He's done work with me for girls basketball. He's helped me out with softball as well. And this man is one of the most analytical minds I think I've actually had in the booth. So...
I didn't even pay you for that, Alex. Well, the radio thing, my family told me, they said, Matt, you really have a face for radio. So I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
I don't know. We'll take it how we can get it, all right? So, Matt, we're going to keep up with the NFL talk here. With the regular season now officially over, there is a lot of talk about, you know, what does Green Bay need to do? We can elaborate a little bit more on this later on in the show, but looking at the Packers and the Eagles, you thought that it's a very tough matchup, especially with Jalen Hurts on there. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, if they're all healthy, now granted, Philadelphia's they sat a lot of players. Jalen Hurts was in concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a tough matchup because they run the ball really well. Green Bay is so-so on the run, against the run. But Jalen Hurts can hurt you with his legs.
He can.
Actually, in college, when he first started out, I didn't think he was a very good thrower until he transferred to...
Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. And then I thought, okay, the kid can throw. They worked with him. But and he squats well over 500 pounds. So he's not just like a fast guy. He's strong. He's built.
He is.
He's built a little different than your average quarterback. But adding both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on the outside is scary. Brown is big, mm-hmm. physical. Smith is fat. Forget, Smith was, I believe, a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yes. Yes, you know, he was.
That's a loaded lineup. And Saquon Barkley, I was so-so on Saquon Barkley till I saw one game earlier this year where they put him down. They were winning. They sat him down. They said, hey, you're only so many yards, X yards from your career record. Do you want to go back in? He's like, no. You let the other kids play.
Yeah.
You know, I thought this is a quality class guy. I want the Packers to win, but that's a hard guy to root against.
It is. Now, here's how I think Green Bay can pull off the upset, okay? Here's the funny thing with the Packers defense this year. Statistically, from what I've seen, they're better against the run than they are on the pass. And we've typically seen that reversed,
yes,
over the last decade and a half. Now, if you want me to say how does Green Bay pull this off, priority number one is to make Jalen Hurts uncomfortable. Because as good as he is running and scrambling, he is more of a system quarterback, especially in that particular offense. If you force him to throw the ball down the field and have play two high safeties for pretty much the whole game, you might get gashed on the run, but that's how you try and adjust to putting six or seven guys in the box.
I absolutely agree with you, Alex. Not only against Jalen Hurts, I've been saying this against Sam Darnold, Jared Goff. The Packers, they've had a lot of sacks this year, but when they play the really good teams, their sack total is way down. They do not make the other quarterback uncomfortable.
No.
Now, the loss of Jair Alexander, big deal.
Yes,
because
it is.
He takes half the field away.
Yes,
it turns you from a man defense to more of a zone defense. But when they play the zone, they don't bring enough blitzes, in my opinion, mm-mm. to make that quarterback uncomfortable.
Yeah, and the other thing to point out with this, and we'll talk more about this during our preview later on, and when we also make our predictions. But the other thing to point out is, again, the funny stats can be deceiving, and that seems to be the theme with Green Bay this year. The Packers are 10th in the NFL in sacks. They have 45 sacks, which is tied for 8th in the NFL.
Yeah, they've had some games where they've had some high sack totals.
Yeah.
But if you look at the two line games, the two Viking games, I don't know if they really got after Jalen Hurts in game one. I can't remember that one.
They got after him a couple times, but they didn't make him uncomfortable. They just,
right.
when things panicked, they just gave the ball to Saquon and said, take us there.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I watched Sam Darnold, and if you play a zone, I don't care if he sits back there forever. You and I are going to run open eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's how Detroit was able to beat them as well. Even though they didn't sack Darnold a lot, they made him uncomfortable.
Yep.
They got him off kilter and forced him to make throws on the run. That what was the difference, by the way, in that game, which gave Detroit the number one seed.
Yeah, and I like Jeff Hafley. I'm not sure Jeff Hafley has his players yet. And when you talk about injuries, let's face it, injuries change the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I think you're seeing a lot more zone than you would if Jair Alexander was in the healthy.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. The funny thing is, we're talking about all this. Green Bay had two more wins than they had last year, and they're still the number seven seed in the NFC. Like that is mind-boggling to me.
In the toughest division in football. I mean, that NFC North is loaded.
So, to give you some perspective here before we get to CBS News, the only other time where an NFL team finished with 13 wins or more and didn't finish first in their division was the 1999 Tennessee Titans. The Titans that year finished 13-3. The Jaguars finished 14-2 that year. The two losses that Jacksonville had were to the Titans. The two teams met in the AFC Championship game, and Tennessee ended up winning. That's the last time that happened. That's going to wrap up part one of the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We've got CBS News and weather coming up, and then after that, we've got Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley, Mosinee hockey coach Keith Kuklinski, and Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee. That's all coming up here on the Sports Queue on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Tomahawk, our temperature is at 14 degrees. It's now time for CBS News.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Cube on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Firefighters in Southern California are scrambling to battle several large wildfires that have killed at least two people and destroyed more than 1,000 homes and businesses. Those Santa Ana winds just won't let up. 100,000 people have evacuated, including Taisha, who's now at a Red Cross shelter in Pasadena.
My grandma's home was burned to the ground. I'm just looking for my aunt right now, and I can't currently find her.
CBS's Joy Benedict is covering the fast-moving fire in Altadena.
This is Alameda Street, where we do have fire crews that have been trying really hard to stop a couple of homes that have been burning from spreading to other homes. And as you turn down this residential street, you just see that darkness completely takes over because of the smoke and the ash in this community as these things continue to burn.
The military is sending planes and helicopters to dump water on the fires. President-elect Donald Trump just paid his respects to former President Jimmy Carter, who is lying in state at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. As Trump walked into the rotunda, he spoke to reporters about his meeting today with Senate Republicans, who are split on how to enact his agenda.
We're looking at the one bill versus two bills, and whatever it is, doesn't matter. We're going to get the result, and we're going to make America great again, and we'll see you in a little while.
Trump wants to cram his tax cuts, border changes, and energy policy into one bill and pass it by this spring. The Biden administration is brushing off Trump's recent comments about Panama and Greenland. More from CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The president-elect said earlier this week that he would not rule out using military or economic action to take over the Panama Canal and Greenland. While that sparked international concerns, national security spokesman John Kirby seemed to downplay it.
We remain focused on issues that we believe are core to our national security.
Those issues include...
It's making sure there's we're on a path to a just peace in Ukraine.
Adding that's just one of many things the administration will remain focused on with the time that is left in office.
Police in Ohio are investigating whether a 75-year-old woman was killed by a neighbor's pet pig. CBS's Jim Krasula has details.
The Licking County Coroner's Office says the Pataskala, Ohio woman, whose body was found on her porch, bled to death from extensive injuries consistent with an animal attack. David Mullings lives nearby.
And it would be nice to get some clarification on what actually happened and what's actually going down in our neighborhood. So, I mean, this is a very quiet neighborhood. Nothing happens in this neighborhood.
The coroner ruled the woman's death accidental.
Stocks were mixed today. The Dow rose 106 points. NASDAQ fell 10. S&P was up 9. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Are you an annoying know-it-all? Answering questions no one asked of you? Do people often ask you, how do you sleep at night? Then you should go to Mattress Firm. They have knowledgeable sleep experts specifically trained to help match you with the right mattress, so anyone, even people like you, can sleep all night. Get matched at Mattress Firm. Sleep at night. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
So this new dose is... Nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
New research finds AI can improve the success of IVF treatment.
Doctors use ultrasound scans and IVF treatment to help them decide when to inject a hormone known as a trigger to make sure the eggs are ready to be fertilized. The timing of that is a key decision, as it doesn't work as well if small sacs in the ovaries called follicles are the wrong size. Researchers at Imperial College London used a technique known as explainable AI to analyze data on more than 19,000 IVF patients to examine the sizes of the follicles that offer the best chances for mature eggs to be harvested and improve the number of babies being born. Allison Keys, CBS News.
Police in Australia say they're amazed a hiker who had been missing for 2 weeks on a remote mountain range is in great condition. 23-year-old Hadi Nazari got separated from his two fellow hikers the day after Christmas. Police say he survived by eating berries and two granola bars he found in a hut. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6.06 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned in to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a great evening so far. 14 degrees here in the Northwoods under mostly cloudy skies. Coming up after our weather forecast, we're going to chat with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley. We're going to talk about the Tomahawk-Mosinee hockey game. We'll also chat with Mosinee hockey coach Keith Kuklinski later on. And we'll also chat with Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee as we talk about the inconsistent Bucks, to say the least. That's all coming up after our weather forecast.
The forecast for the Northwoods. As some clouds start to clear this evening, it allows our temperatures to plummet cold, back to the single digits. We'll see sunny skies to start the day off tomorrow, but become cloudy by the afternoon. It'll be warm, with highs in the mid-20s and snow moving in by night. Don't worry, it's not much. Just a dusting to an inch is possible, and it's gone by Friday. Highs remain in the low 20s, and we'll see some more sunshine. And for the weekend, Saturday is looking like the brightest day, cooler, with highs near 20, and a bit warmer on Sunday, highs in the low 20s, with snow most of the day, bringing around 1 to 3 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot for WJJQ.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday. And it's now time for our Hatchet interview of the day. And joining me on the line is Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley. Dewey, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Of course. So the last couple of weeks, you've gone through a gauntlet of a schedule. You went to the Rocket Red Nose Classic in Neenah, and you had a state semifinal rematch with New Richmond over the last couple of weeks. What do you think going up against those teams does for your squad?
I think it helps us, obviously. You know, I'm a firm believer in iron sharpens iron. And so when we get to go and face, you know, teams that are at our level or above, I think that it truly helps us, you know, and as we've talked before, we learn more from some of the losses than we do from some of our wins. And it kind of helps me as a coach figure out what we need to work on. It helps the kids being able to play at a faster pace. You know, when you play against good teams, you've got less time and space, so you have to be cleaner in your decision making, cleaner in your puck movement, and ultimately it helps us. And we talk about, you know, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And so all of this is part of the development. And the better teams you play, the better team you become.
Coach, let's focus more on the Rock Renos Classic in Neenah. You defeated Eau Claire North, you came back to beat Bayport, and then you lost in the championship game to the number one team in the state in the Division I in Spash. What was it like competing in that tournament and going up against some of the better teams in Division I?
It's part of the highlight of our season, getting a chance to go there and punch above your weight class and then represent the way that we did is awesome. And I think it helps to reaffirm to these kids that we are a good team and we belong in that class of competition. You know, it also is a good test for us to have to play back-to-back-to-back 3 days in a row, especially scrambling back against a good team in Bayport. I wish we would have had a little more legs when we faced Spash. But it is not a slight on them. They're a four-line deep team and deserve to be number one in the state.
Again, talking here with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coach, you also had a rematch of the Division II state semifinal last year against New Richmond. What did you think of your team's performance despite the loss?
Overall, I thought it was good. We came out, you know, in the first period and kind of punching back and forth, which was great. We had, again, that kind of four-minute lull in the second period where, you know, if you let up, a good team is going to take advantage of that. And I also thought it was a good, you know, eye-opener for us that, in my opinion, New Richmond outworked us. So it's a good idea for us to realize that you can't just show up. You know, when that bell rings, you got to answer the bell and you got to come out with your foot on the gas, which I think we did, you know, kind of relaying back against Pacelli.
Coach, looking at your team right now, you're 10-3 right now through 13 games this season. What have you thought of your team's overall performance this year?
Overall, I think it's been pretty solid. You know, we've kind of had the gamut of competition. But, you know, teams that we should, you know, do very well against, we have. Teams that, you know, could be a 50-50 game, I think that we've, you know, done very well. And obviously playing against the Spashes, the Bayports, the West Bend, stuff like that, you know, we've represented well. And so if you were to tell me at the beginning of the season that, you know, after 13 in games, we'd be 10-3, obviously I'd be happy with that.
Again, talking here with Hatchet Hockey Coach Dewey Riley here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coach, now that the gauntlet of your schedule is over, you're now starting to get into the meat and the potatoes of the Great Northern Conference season. What do you think this team needs to work on going forward?
I think just staying the course, you know, and realizing that we're going to have to show up night in and night out. When it comes to playing back in the GNC, you know, it's kind of like the NFC North division, where you can pretty much throw records out the window due to history, rivalries, whatever you want to call it. And we have to be able to kind of, you know, put that on the back burner and just focus on what we do. If we stay focused, if we stay locked in, I like our chances against everybody. If we play as a team, you know, and play our style of hockey, not let them dictate the pace of the game, again, I like our chances.
So, Coach, your next game is down in Mosinee on Thursday. Down there last time you were there, you clinched your first state tournament berth in 33 years. You beat them in the sectional final. What can you tell us about this Mosinee team this year?
Once again, Mosinee, you know, always just kind of reloads. They're a good team, new coach, and Keith Kuklinski, who's a good guy, good coach. So they'll be coming ready to play. Again, for us, it's always about just kind of taking care of our business first, you know, making sure that we, you know, focus on team play, making sure we focus on the little details that add up to big things on the scoreboard, and playing overall good team hockey.
What does your team need to do to get the win?
I think that we need to come out with our foot on the gas. You know, we need to take care of the puck in our defensive zone. We need to get pucks to the net, and we need to not be looping around watching the other guy with the puck. We need to be working as hard without the puck as when we do have it on our stick.
Coach, any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Nope, just looking forward to the game against Mosinee. Hope we get some community support to show up and be cheering for us. And looking forward to a good game.
Again, Tomahawk takes on Mosinee Thursday night at the Mosinee Rec Center. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show begins at 6:35, and opening faceoff is at 7 o'clock. Zach Garner will join me in the broadcast booth. Hatchet Hockey Coach Dewey Riley. Dewey, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Alex.
Of course, we'll go ahead and take a break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Cue right after this here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Cue on WJJQ.
Tired of the same old investment strategy? It's time to invest smarter. WSG's proactive risk optimization strategy designs your portfolio based on current risks to help you navigate today's challenging markets. We strive to optimize your investments so you can focus on your goals. Ready for a new approach? Call Wealth Strategy Group at 715-453-0722 or visit us at wsginvest.com. With Pro, it's time to invest smarter and take control of your financial future.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
Start the new year with confidence and a safe, reliable ride from Bremen Merrill Ford. Here's how they make your vehicle buying experience easier than ever. Their top-rated sales team doesn't just meet expectations, they exceed them. Ranked among the best in customer satisfaction, their team is committed to helping you find the perfect vehicle stress-free. And let's talk value. Bremen Merrill Ford offers the absolute best prices on all new and used trucks and SUVs. Plus, their impressive selection of late model vehicles has been inspected and reconditioned by factory-trained Ford technicians. Because this winter, you deserve to drive with peace of mind. So whether you're hitting the snowy roads or planning your next adventure, your perfect vehicle is waiting at Bremen Merrill Ford. Visit them off exit 211 South in Merrill or online at BremenMerrillFord.com.
It's easier than you think at Bremen Merrill Ford.
Welcome back to Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along on this Wednesday evening. It's now time for our state interview of the week. And joining me on the line from ESPN Milwaukee is Alex Strofe. Alex, thank you for joining me.
Anytime, buddy. Hope things are well, and this is the best time of the year, right? We've got the Bucks going. We've got, obviously, college hoops between the Badgers and Marquette going.
Yeah.
I won't mention Doug Gottlieb at UW Green Bay, and of course, the Bucks going. So,
yeah.
Best time of the year.
Yeah, best time of the year indeed. So, Strofe, let's dive right into the Bucks here. Milwaukee currently standing at 18-16. They're fifth in the Eastern Conference. There was some news that broke earlier today that we'll get into in a sec, but we thought that the Bucks winning the NBA Cup would be, you know, essentially the factor that would turn the season around. Why do you think they've been so inconsistent coming out of the gate?
Yeah, you know the old saying, Alex, right? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It seems like they took that a little too literally, right? Like, this is not the same team we saw a month ago win that Emirates NBA Cup. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously, and you said we'll get to the news of the day regarding Chris Middleton, but I think they're viewing that as hopefully a spark that helps them find some scoring, right? It was a nice win the other night, but that is what it is. Let's see what happens when a team that's coming to town tonight with Chris Paul and Victor Wembanyama, which posed some really tough issues defensively, let's see what you're made of. So I'm intrigued by this test tonight and certainly intrigued by the move they're going to make ahead of it.
So obviously the news broke earlier today, Strofe, that the Bucks are deciding to have Chris Middleton come off the bench for the foreseeable future. Sounds like the Torian Prince is going to be put into the starting lineup. Do you think this was the right move to make?
I think it's certainly an attempt at the right move to make. But I don't know. I like Torian Prince. I don't know that he has the 3-point shot of a Chris Middleton or the 3-point threat of a Chris Middleton, but it gives your depth a nice scoring option, which I don't think the Bucks have had come off the bench. Right, Gary Trent Jr. probably your best scoring option, or AJ Green off the bench previously. So I think this gives your second level a little bit more of a scoring threat, but There's plenty of problems, and hopefully this is part of fixing it.
Again, talking here with Alex Strofe from ESPN Milwaukee here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Strofe, you said that there are a lot of other problems that are surrounding the Bucks, and really, as you mentioned, they seem to have left their A game in Vegas so far. What else do you think needs to change?
Well, I think this goes back to something we've talked plenty about over the course of the last 3 months, right? It's finding that third scoring option. You know, when Bobby's on, Bobby's on. When Chris is on, Chris is on. When Brooke is on, Brooke is on. But you can't rely on any of those three guys to go help you and pour in 20 on a given night or 18 on a given night. If Dame's shot is off, you're losing that game, right? I mean, that's at least what we've seen since they've returned from Vegas. So it's finding that third scoring option, which I don't know if they'll try to do as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline and the All-Star break, or if they're just hoping somebody evolves into that, right? It seems like Chris coming back from this injury, I think he's only played, 12 games or something like that. He's just been inconsistent. And, you know, can he go out and get to 20? Maybe. Can he go out and get to 10? Certainly. But you need closer to the ceiling than the floor when it comes to that third scoring option offensively. And then defensively, I mean, this dates back to the acquisition of Dame Lillard versus Drew Holiday, right? When you have a lockdown point guard defender, or a guy that can lock down a point guard, it's going to help you a ton on the defensive end. And look, Damian Lillard's a great player, one of the best, top 75 ever. But that's not his strong suit. And I think the Bucks are still missing that, which they got out of Drew Holiday, which obviously led to that title run in 2021.
So right now, as we look here, Strofe, you mentioned the fact that they may need to make a move as the deadline gets closer. Do you think that involves trading Middleton, or do you think they'll keep him for the rest of the year?
I just don't know who wants him, Alex, right? I mean, with the injury concerns, and certainly, I mean, it's not like he's making, top dollar, but he's certainly getting paid handsomely.
Yes.
I just don't know who would want to take on the risk that is his health on top of the paycheck. So that's the thing that I'm trying to figure out. Could a team do it? Certainly, but I struggle with what general manager would be jumping at the idea of acquiring Chris Middleton unless you're going into full-blown rebuild mode.
Again, talking here with Alex Strofe from ESPN Milwaukee here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex, right now, looking at the rest of this season, you mentioned the third scoring option has been, you know, the biggest problem for the Bucks so far this year. What else do you think the Bucks could improve on as we start to head towards the second half of the year?
Well, consistency is part of it, I think, right? And I don't know if that answers your question, but it's just, it's an inconsistent crew. When you look at some of these games, you know, I think back to the Cup in that championship game against Oklahoma City, who's viewed as one of the best teams in the NBA, obviously leading off that doubleheader tonight on ESPN against a really good Cleveland team. They held them to 81 points, right? That was the best defensive performance we've seen out of the Bucks all season long.
Agreed.
Now, offensively, Oklahoma City struggled in that game. But that's the lowest they have allowed a point or an opponent to score all year. I think it's one of few times they've held an opponent to under 100 points. I think that they've only done that five times this year. So defensively, specifically, is where that consistency comes into play. And that's where you miss a guy like Jrue Holiday. But, you know, Bobby's seen some improvements defensively. Brooke Lopez, as he gets older, still is a great inside protector. But you just need somebody that can take the top off and really be a disruptor defensively. And I don't know if they have that in the backcourt.
So right now, as we stand here, Strofe, with the Bucks fifth in the East and 18-16, how far do you think the Bucks can go this year?
I still think that's to be determined. I'm still trying to figure out the rest of the Eastern Conference, right? Like, I believe in Cleveland, but are they really a championship team? 31-4 is hard to dispute. That is an incredible record.
Yes.
We know how good Boston is and can be coming off of the title run a year ago. I buy the Knicks. Now, it's dependent on if they can stay healthy, but I totally buy them. I think Josh Hart has stepped up in so many ways for them. Orlando, I think, is beatable. And if you look at the standings, you keep mentioning Milwaukee's the 50. They would see Orlando in the first round. That's a winnable series.
Yes.
But those top three are an interesting group. But I think the East is wide open overall, right? Cleveland, Boston, and New York are the best three teams. And Milwaukee's probably fourth, as long as they can clean some stuff up and establish some consistency going forward. So I certainly think conference finals is an obtainable goal, and that should be the marker, right? If they don't make the conference finals, it's time to make some serious rash decisions, because that window with Giannis is only open for so much longer.
Of course, again, the Bucks take on the San Antonio Spurs tonight back at Pfizer Forum in the second half of the ESPN doubleheader. Tip for that game is at 8:30. Be sure to stay up late and watch that game. Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee. Alex, thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Anytime, Alex. We'll do it again soon.
Of course, Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee here in the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our preview of tomorrow's Hatchet hockey game with Mosinee. Mosinee hockey coach Keith Kuklinski will join the show. That's next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods, you're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
You already know Doug and his crew at Tomahawk Sew & Vac are doing repairs on sewing machines and vacuums, but did you remember they have sewing machines for sale as well? That's right, sewing machines, sewing and embroidery combination machines, and vacuum cleaners, all fully guaranteed. They take trade-ins too. Located in the back of Honeycomb Loft and open Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 10 until 2 or by appointment. Simply call Tomahawk Sew & Vac at 224-3401 with any questions or to schedule that appointment. Doug will also do home pickup of sewing machine and vacuum cleaners, making it even easier for you to get your machine back up and running again. Drop off your sewing machines or vacuum cleaners at the back door of Honeycomb Loft, located at 216 West Wisconsin Avenue, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 10 until 2. Or for pickup, call 224-3401. Tomahawk Sew & Vac for all your sewing machine and vacuum needs.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It's now time for our part two of our hockey interviews for today. And joining me on the line is new Mosinee hockey coach, Keith Kuklinski. Keith, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Coach, let's go ahead and get right into this. This is your first year on the job. Let me ask you, why did you decide to take this job?
Well, I've coached a lot of years in youth, and you know, I've enjoyed my time doing that, and I figured this would be a new challenge for me. So far, it has been, and I'm liking what I'm doing so far. So, yeah, that's the reason.
Coach, so far you are 8-5-1 through your first 14 games of the year. What do you think has led to your team's success so far at the beginning of the year?
Well, actually, we started off 1-3. We had a rough stretch there, but the guys bounced back. I think our senior leadership kicked in. Those guys started really turning the tide for us. So along with that, we've had some good goalkeeping along the way. Three lines have contributed. So that's led to us turning an early deficits into some good wins in the recent games.
And talking here with Mo's and e-hockey coach Keith Kuklinski here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Keith, let's go ahead and talk about your great Northern Conference games that you've had. You've defeated Pines, Antigo, and Lakeland so far. Let me ask you, what do you think it's like coaching against the rest of the teams in the GNC so far this year?
So far, they've given us some struggles. We've had some hard times. We were down early on Pines. We had to battle back, and we ended up winning in overtime. Last night, Lakeland gave us a good run for our money. So, and Antigo is usually decent, too. They were missing a bunch of their players, but yeah, it's been a battle so far. And give those coaches credit for having their teams ready to go.
So, Coach, as we go into the meat and potatoes of this season, what do you think you need to improve on the most as we head into the middle of the year?
Well, we need to score on our power play more. That would be our weak point right now. But, scoring on power play, taking advantage of those odd man opportunities, playing the full length of the ice. Let's not just worry about offensive end and take care of things in our D zone as well.
Again, talking here with Mozanie hockey coach Keith Kuklinski here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coach, your next game is tomorrow night. It's against Tomahawk, who's the number one team in Division Two. What is going to be the key to knocking off the Hatchets?
Well, like I just mentioned, we'll have to play a full length of the ice. We have to play defensively, disciplined game in our own zone and through the neutral zone. When we get our opportunities, we're going to have to really try and put those home. Yeah, so the whole length of the ice.
Coach, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. We're expecting it to be a competitive game, so hopefully our guys can show up and show them what we're made of.
Again, Tomahawk takes on Mozanie at the Mozanie Rec Center tomorrow. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show will begin at 6:35, and opening faceoff will be at 7 o'clock, and Zach Garner will join me in the broadcast booth tomorrow night. Mozanie hockey coach Keith Kuklinski. Keith, thank you for joining me, and good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Of course, Mozanie hockey coach Keith Kuklinski here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Your weather forecast is next.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Hi, I'm Jeff in the Morning. You're invited to listen in on Thursday morning for my conversation with Michael Carr. He's a retirement income strategist with National Pension Retirement Pros. Michael will talk about how to cultivate your retirement savings from inflation protection, tax-free options, and more. I'll look forward to our conversation with Michael Carr on Thursday morning at 9:35 here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Lows around 3 above. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the south, around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, slight chance of snow. High temperatures reach up to 24. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 10 degrees.
Hi, it's Jessica from Crossbridge Community Bank. Purpose first means being thoughtful about our customers' needs, our employees' happiness, and our community's growth. At Crossbridge Community Bank, we work to ensure that your experience with us is not just transactional, but transformative. You play a role in the future of our area, and your success is our success. It's Tomahawk and Merrill success. So bank somewhere that puts purpose first. Stop in today at our location in Tomahawk on 4th and Somal, or in Merrill, right on Main Street. We can't wait to see you. Crossbridge Community Bank, purpose first.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. See, this is a little bit of a dive into my personality, if you will. Alex Cook, Matt Tyler here with you. One of my loves that I have outside of sports, obviously you know me as being the sports guy, is that I am actually a really big rock and metal head. And Metallica is one of my favorite metal bands I've ever listened to. That is one band I wish I could see live.
Freud may have a field day with you, Alex.
Well, let's hope. Well, I don't know. Would he have a field day with me? I'm not entirely sure. Alex Cook, Matt Tyler here with you here on the Sports Queue on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So again here, thank you very much also, by the way, to Hatchet Hockey Coach Dewey Riley. We got Mosney Hockey Coach Keith Kuklinski on. We also got Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee on to talk about the Hatchet hockey game coming up tomorrow. We also talked very briefly about the Bucks and their inconsistent stretch so far. We're going to go right back to the NFL, and we've got a pack of playoff game to talk about.
20-19 Green Bay, 3 seconds to go. They'll place it down to the left hash mark. 36-yard line, 10 to the end zone, 46-yard field goal attempt. Torrey Taylor on the hold. Scott Daly the snap. Cairo Santos for the game. Signals being called. Here's the snap. Placement made. The kick is blocked.
It is blocked. It is blocked. And the Packers have won.
Beautiful.
It is blocked. Beautiful. It comes up short. And the Packers have won 11 straight over the Bears. 20-19. Oh, my goodness. What a finish.
That was the final game of the Packers' 11-game winning streak with the Bears, and that was the only NFC North game that Green Bay won all season long.
Alex, I actually had the pleasure of sitting next to Wayne Larrivee.
Yes.
The commentator for the Packers on a flight one time, and Wayne Larrivee is about the nicest guy you'll ever meet.
He really is.
He sat and talked football at that time. I don't know if he was just starting with the Packers. But talked college football. Just a super, super nice guy.
I met Wayne Larrivee a few times being at Lambeau Field. He is a great guy to talk to. Very easygoing, very laid back. Nothing bothers him too much. And he was one of my favorite broadcasters growing up as a kid. Him and Larry McCarron go together really, really well.
Yep. My all-time favorite, though, is the voice of the Badgers, Matt LaPe.
Oh, he's phenomenal. Yep. He is phenomenal. I go back to the days of Ted Davis with the Milwaukee Bucks. He was one of the biggest reasons why I got into sports broadcasting. So, Matt, we got a pack of playoff game to talk about on Sunday. So Green Bay is taking on the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday. The game will be at 3:30. We'll have the radio broadcast for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So just a little bit of history, by the way, with these two teams in the postseason. The Packers have played the Eagles 3 times in their franchise's history. This will be time number 4. Every single time the two teams have met, it has been in Philadelphia. The first time these two teams met was in 1960. It was the NFL championship game. Philadelphia won that game 17-13. That was the only time Vince Lombardi lost in his Hall of Fame career in Green Bay. And the MVP of that game was Norm Van Brocklin.
Wow. That was a long time ago.
That was a very long time ago. The other two, Packers fans my age may be a little more, and Matt is shaking his head, because the second time these two teams played was in the 2003 NFC Divisional Round. And if you don't know what that game is, just look up 4th and 26. That's all you need to know.
The dreaded prevent defense that
yes.
prevents you from winning.
Yes, that's what a prevent defense does. The Eagles ended up winning that game 20-17 because that conversion helped lead to the game-time field goal by David Akers that ultimately sent the game into overtime. And then the first time Green Bay was able to beat the Eagles in the playoffs was in the 2010 NFC wildcard game. The Packers ended up winning that game 21-16. Game-sealing interception by Tremont Williams. Aaron Rodgers had a productive day. James Starks ran for over 120 yards in that game, and that win kickstarted a Packers Super Bowl run.
Yeah, Tremont Williams, not only that game, but I believe the next game against Atlanta had a huge game as
yes,
well.
Yes, he did. He had a couple interceptions. He had a big pick six at the end of the first half of that game as well. So this is how it stands. Green Bay is the seventh seed for the second straight year. Now, they were the seventh seed last year, and they went to Dallas and kicked their butts. 48-32. Love had the highest quarterback rating of any Packer in franchise history. Green Bay won that game going away. It really wasn't close. They were the first number seven seed to win a playoff game in NFL playoff history. If Green Bay wins, this is an automatic. They have a rematch with Detroit the following week. And Detroit, as we know, is one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFL. So, Matt, looking at it right now, Green Bay and Philadelphia, this is a very intriguing matchup. These two teams played earlier this season. The final score of that game was 34-29. Philadelphia ended up winning in Brazil. The Eagles right now are 4.5-point favorites over Green Bay. How do the Packers pull off the upset?
I'm surprised it's 4.5. I think the line opened 3.5 and went up to 4.5, probably when they announced that Jalen Hurts was going to play.
Uh-huh.
I think you hit it on the head. They have to make Jalen Hurts uncomfortable. The first thing you have to do, though, is you have to stop Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, by himself in that game, not only running, but he made a heck of a catch for a touchdown in that game at Brazil as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a key. I don't really feel like A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith really did a whole lot in that game to hurt you. I'm going to go to Edgerrin Cooper. If Edgerrin Cooper has a game like he's capable of having, they have a chance.
Here's what I've outlined. I've outlined a few things. First things first. You talk about Saquon Barkley. The Packers' rush defense was seventh in the NFL this past season. We don't talk about top 10 rush defenses with Green Bay often. The last time they had a top 10 run defense was in 2009. That was the last time. It's been 15 years. You can't necessarily stop a guy like Saquon Barkley. You have to hope that he doesn't make as much of an impact on the game as you would like him to. So that's thing number one. The other thing, and I'm going to go right to this because I've been a defender of Jordan Love because I think that in order to help out a young quarterback, you have to be able to make tough catches. And I think that Green Bay's receivers have fallen short of that. The Packers have two of the top 10 players tied for the lead in drops and two of the top four in drop percentage this year. Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks. That's a problem. Jordan Love has to play well. They have to play well. I'm not saying that he needs to play, that he needs to have 350 yards passing and five touchdowns. You know, I'm not expecting that from him. I do expect him to throw for 250, a couple scores, and avoid turning the ball over.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The receivers have to help him.
Yes.
And it's, I really thought, now, Reed has had a good year. Dontavian Wicks has been a disappointment to me because I thought he was going to have a breakout year. He's got the size, he's got the speed, but he just can't hold on to the ball.
It's a roller coaster with him.
It really is, but he's got all the tools.
Mm-hmm. He does. So that's thing number one. The other third thing is that they're going to have to control the line of scrimmage because the Eagles, I don't know if people realize this, the Eagles have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, and that is after Jason Kelce has retired. They also have a very good front four led by Jalen Carter. This man is a star in the making on this defensive line for Philly. So that's the third thing. And then my final key is that they have to finish drives. Once you get into the red zone, you have to come away with points. It's plain and simple.
And the first time they played him in Brazil, Philadelphia turned the ball over twice inside of gave it to us in the 20, and we got two field goals out of that?
Yes.
I think you can't do that. And the other thing, you know, that you didn't mention, Alex, that I'm going to add to it a little bit is you can't turn the ball over against Philadelphia
Mm-mm.
and expect to win this game.
Mm-mm. No, you can't, because if you turn the ball over against Philadelphia, the Eagles aren't necessarily world beaters on defense, but if you give them a turnover, they're going to go ahead and run away with it. They're one of those teams, once they get hot, it's hard to stop them. They're very streaky.
Right. And, you know, that game almost felt like last team to have the ball is going to win.
Yeah. That honestly is what it felt like. That is what it felt like. You know, so looking at this matchup here, I'm not necessarily sure. Let's just go ahead and point this right off the bat. Green Bay has a much better opportunity to win this game if Jalen Hurts doesn't play, which it sounds like that he is leaning towards playing. Now the other side to it is, if Jordan Love is unable to play for whatever reason, it's a lost cause, in my opinion.
You know what seems weird about when Malik Willis filled in for him early in the year?
Uh-huh.
It seemed like Green Bay game planned better for Malik Willis than they did for Jordan Love. Now, when Jordan Love came back, he was not 100%.
No, he was not.
Probably should have sat out a couple games beyond that. But it seemed like the game plan for Malik Willis was really good.
Yeah, it was.
But I get what you're saying. You have to have your stars there to play and to win.
Yeah. And again, you mentioned Devontae Smith. He wasn't necessarily the best player on the field, but every single time he made a catch, it seemed like that it was on third down. Like, he was one of those guys where it was Nick, paper cut after paper cut after paper cut, catch after catch after catch. He continued to be a factor. Green Bay is going to have to find a way to force Jalen Hurts to throw the ball down the field, because Xavier McKinney was second in the NFL in interceptions, and he was able to get one off of Hurts in that season opening game. They're going to have to force a couple turnovers as well if they're going to find a way to pull this off.
But to get that, we go back to what you and I talked about early, and they have to make him uncomfortable.
Yeah, they do. They have to get the pass rush. Again, the other NFL playoff matchups that are here, the Chargers at Houston, Pittsburgh at Baltimore, Denver at Buffalo, Washington at Tampa Bay, and Minnesota at the Rams. We're going to go ahead and take another break. When we come back, Matt's going to join me and make some wild card playoff predictions. That is next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
It's a new year, and that means it's time for new home projects. What about your house do you find frustrating? Poor energy efficiency? A lack of organized storage space? An awkward kitchen layout? This is the year you stop living with it and start improving it. And Tomahawk Builder Supply can help. From flooring to roofing, Tomahawk Builder Supply will provide you with high-quality building materials. Don't know where to begin? Start by bringing your plans and ideas to 120 North Railway Street in downtown Tomahawk. Take a look at product samples and have your questions answered by the knowledgeable sales staff. Tomahawk Builder Supply looks forward to helping you tackle your home improvement projects in 2025.
Don't be that guy watching everyone else head out on a ride. Schedule your UTV ATV maintenance at Hop Service Center. No matter how much time and effort you put into your UTV ATV, certain things are still left behind. Better to take it to a professional, and that professional is Hop Service Center. Ready to get the sled out? Call Hop Service Center to ensure you will be ready to go for the season. Call Hop to pre-order your new boat lift or dock. To make sure your equipment is ready to roll, call Hop Service Center at 360-5086 County Road L, north of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you, along with Matt Tyler on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It is now 6:45. We've talked a lot of sports today. We've talked NFL playoffs. We've talked Bucks. We've talked high school hockey. There's a lot of NFL going on, obviously. But for the first time in Sports Q history, we're going to do something a little bit different here for the postseason. And I decided to wait until this particular week because I think it's appropriate. Matt Tyler, you and I are going to pick some wild card games. How does that sound?
Sounds good, Alex.
Now, I believe, because for those of you that don't know, Matt Tyler is also a real estate agent at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate, which is just down the road from our studios. You and your workmates, including John Long, who was here last week, had a pick'em league. Is that right?
Yeah, we did. And you know, I'm not the type to rub it in their face, but I beat the heck out of Tim Nelson and John Long and Dave Long. Billy Eastwood from Outboards was in it, and Sean Duncan. So, but again, I'm not one that brags or comes on a radio station and says, I got first place, and they did. Nothing like that, you know.
I think he just did. I think he just did.
Whoops.
I may have to be a part of that Pick'em League next year.
Absolutely.
So, Matt, so with you being the expert predictor that you are, according to yourself and the rest of the members over at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate, are you ready to make some wild card predictions?
Let's go, Alex.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. All right, Matt, your first game you get to pick. It is the number 4 seed in the AFC, the Houston Texans, taking on the number 5 seed, the LA Chargers, at 3:30 at Saturday on CBS. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Chargers here.
Okay.
21-17.
Okay, explain yourself.
I think Houston is... Early in the year, Houston was playing a little bit better, and I just think everybody in the offseason, the way Houston finished last year, everybody jumped on the Houston bandwagon a little bit. I think as much as I'm not a Jim Harbaugh fan, I don't like the guy at all, I just think they have a good running game, and I think they'll control the ball.
Justin Herbert has 24 touchdowns to 3 interceptions this year. He's been incredibly consistent. I'm going to take the Chargers to win. I don't trust Houston. They've been way up and down this year. So you and I are in the same boat on that. Chargers over the Texans. I got it a little bit higher scoring, 27-24. Next game is at 7 o'clock on Saturday. Game will be broadcast on Amazon Prime. The number 6 seed in the AFC, the Pittsburgh Steelers, take on the number 3 seed Baltimore Ravens in AFC North matchup. Who you got?
Got to be the Ravens. When I was a kid, I'll be honest, I was a Steeler fan. Loved the Steelers back in the 70s. Unfortunately, I think potentially the loss of TJ Watt, that really, really hurts Pittsburgh. And I think this Raven team is just too high-powered. It's really unusual to see a Raven team. Usually they're known for defense, but this is a high-powered offense.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree. I'm going to take the Ravens as well in this game. Pittsburgh slid into the postseason. There's no other way about it. They lost 4 straight games against good teams, regardless. You know, Cincinnati, Philadelphia. They lost to Baltimore. They lost to... You know, the Eagles as well. But I think the Ravens win. I think it'll be pretty handily.
I do too.
Yep. Sunday at noon, it's the Buffalo Bills against the Denver Broncos, the number 2 seed and the number 7 seed in the AFC. Matt.
I give Denver a lot of credit, Sean Payton, what he's done this year with Bo Nix, but I got to take the Buffalo Bills, especially at home.
Yeah, I would agree. Here's an interesting matchup also to pay attention to. The Denver Broncos had the most sacks in the NFL this year with 63. The Buffalo Bills have allowed the fewest. 14 sacks in a 17-game season. That is great offensive line play, and that's also great quarterback play from Josh Allen. I've got Buffalo winning this game as well. Now we go from the AFC to the NFC, and Matt, I want you to be completely unbiased here with this, okay? It is the number 7 seed Green Bay Packers against the number 2 seed Philadelphia Eagles. It's at Lincoln Financial Field. We'll have the broadcast of this game for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Matt, in your completely unbiased opinion, who are you going to take?
I so want to take the Packers. I so want a repeat of last year. But come on, the Philadelphia Eagles are not the Dallas Cowboys. I got to take Philadelphia. I'm going to go Philadelphia 28-24.
Man. And here I am being the homer. I'm taking Green Bay to pull
good
off the upset. I'll go down with the shift because... The biggest reason why is that if Green Bay goes out fast and forces Philly to play from behind, I think that changes things, and I think they're able to do that. So I'll take Green Bay over Philly 24-20. Now we got the Sunday night game. This is a very intriguing matchup. Number 6 seed, the Washington Commanders, against the number 3 seed, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Matt, this is a tough one. Who you got?
Wow. That might be the best matchup of the opening round of the playoffs.
Yes.
You know, I guess I didn't realize till we were off the air and you told me Baker Mayfield's stats this
year.
He's had a tremendous year with, you know, injuries all over the receiving core. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers here.
All right.
I'm going to go Buccaneers 17-13.
Low-scoring game. Yep. Okay. So, for perspective, folks, Baker Mayfield has 4,500 passing yards and 41 touchdowns this season. That is mind-boggling. No Chris Godwin in the second half of the season, and he was without Mike Evans for 4 games. The future is bright for Washington. I think they're a year ahead of schedule. I'm going to take Tampa to win also 28-27. I think it'll be a very tightly contested game. Then the final game we have, Monday Night Football in the City of Angels. We'll have this game and the Sunday night game broadcast for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. The LA Rams going up against the Minnesota Vikings, the 4-5 seed. Matt, what do you got?
In our Pick'em League at work, I got behind this year because I pick with my heart, and I despise the Minnesota Vikings. It pains me to take the Vikings. And I know my good friend Jeff Genlin, if he's listening, he's a Viking fan. He loves them. But I got to take the Vikings here. They're playing really well. I'm going to go Vikings 24-14.
So I'm going to take the Rams, but it's not because I hate the Vikings. It's for this reason alone. Matt Stafford, you can win a Super Bowl with him. You've won a Super Bowl with him. This is Sam Darnold's playoff debut. People forget that. So I'm going to take the Rams in this one. I think it'll be high scoring. I think it'll be close. Final score, Rams 28, Vikings 21.
I hope you're right in that game, and I hope you're right in the Green Bay game,
I hope you're right as well. Those are our NFL wild card predictions. Matt, that was a lot of fun.
It was. Thank you so much. I enjoyed the heck out of that.
Of course, man. It is now 6:51 here at our WJJQ studios. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll look at our local sporting events for the next week, including a couple of hockey broadcasts coming up. That's on the Sports Q here on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Don't be caught by Old Man Winter once he arrives with a furnace that can't handle the job anymore. Instead, call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox Signature Collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs. And great service after the sale, with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Citrus is on sale today at Triggs. The citrus sale is on now, and you'll find navel oranges on sale at 97 cents a pound. Meyer lemons and blood oranges are $3.44 per bag. Grapefruit Caracara oranges or clementines in a 3-pound bag, just $4.44. Sunkissed lemons are 3 for $2, and organic lemons in a 2-pound bag for $2.77. And tangy limes are 2 for $1 during the citrus sale going on right now at your local Triggs store.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Matt Tyler here with you from our WJJQ studios. And that show went by very, very fast. Time flies when you're having fun covering sports. It really does. So, now that we're into our final bit here, let's go ahead and talk about some local sporting events coming up across the area. First off, the big one coming up tonight. We had the chance to chat with Hatchet hockey coach Dewey Riley and Mosinee hockey coach Keith Kuklinski. Tomahawk and Mosinee, the two top teams in the Great Northern Conference, are going to go toe-to-toe tomorrow down in Mosinee, which is where Tomahawk clinched their first state tournament berth in 33 years. It'll be Tomahawk and Mosinee, Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35, opening faceoff coming up at 7, and it's going to be Zach Garner joining me in the broadcast booth.
You know, we talked about this earlier with the Chicago-Green Bay matchup or Minnesota. Doesn't matter how good somebody is or how down they are. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, Tomahawk's up. I don't want to say Mosinee's down, but Mosinee's not where they normally are. I'll guarantee you that's still going to be a darn good hockey game.
Oh, it's going to be a dogfight. The interesting stat also to bring up, Tomahawk played Mosinee four times last year total, okay? Tomahawk went 3-1 in those games, okay? One of them was a conference game. One of them was a non-conference game. The other one was the GNC tournament semifinals and then the sectional finals. Tomahawk put up 26 goals on Mosinee's goalie, Aiden Karsten, that game. That's going to be a very interesting matchup. Also coming up on Thursday, we got some Tomahawk boys wrestling there over in Crandon. Coach Bob Guru and the squad doing a phenomenal job over there. Tomahawk boys swimming, they have a double duel at home. Anago and Medford are coming in. Teresa Lesperon still coaching those boys up. Tomahawk boys swimming with 13 swimmers this year, which is the most that she's had in a long time.
That's awesome. Whatever sport you're doing, numbers is a great thing.
Yes. Yes, it is. And then coming up on Friday, Tomahawk boys and girls basketball are in action. Tomahawk boys will be in Mosinee. Girls will be hosting them. Both games get underway at 7:15. For the girls' side, if you want to come out and see some good girls basketball, Taylan Jershley, the star player for the Indians, she is a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete.
And she's a three-sport athlete.
Yep.
And she has already signed a letter of intent to play softball for Northwestern.
There you go. A Division I athlete. Yep. One of the two, I believe, that you have in the Great Northern Conference.
Three. Two in softball, one in basketball.
That's insane.
And Auburn Clark from Rhinelander will be another one that will be. So probably at one time, four Division I athletes in our conference.
Which is very, very impressive. Very impressive, to say the least. Tomahawk girls, by the way, their wrestling team, they're going to have an invite to UW Stevens Point on Friday. That'll be at 3 o'clock. Meanwhile, looking at ahead to Monday and Tuesday. On Tuesday, the Tomahawk boys and girls basketball teams will be taking on Medford. Boys on the road, girls will be at home. Both those games get underway at 7:15. And then also coming up on Tuesday, our next Hatchet hockey broadcast. This is a big one. Tomahawk and Lakeland going against each other, and it's Pink the Rink night at Sarah Park. So please come out. Otherwise, if you're unable to make it, well, you could tune in because we're going to have the broadcast for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Fairman Orthodontics Radio pregame show will begin at 6:35. Zach Garner will join me in the broadcast booth and opening faceoff at 7 o'clock.
And I know you ask me to do basketball all the time. If you have not seen a hockey game, get out and go watch those kids play. They are really good, very entertaining.
They are very entertaining to watch. Tomahawk is the number one team in the state in Division II. They have been for the last month so far this year.
Impressive.
So if you've not seen this team in person, go out and watch them. Yep. They are incredibly fun to watch. They've beaten Bayport. They've beaten Ambry. They've beaten Menominee. They've gone up against Spash, who's the number one team in Division II. They've gone up against West Bend, who's a very good team. They also had a rematch with New Richmond last year as well.
Yeah, they've played a killer schedule, and I like what Dewey's doing because he's preparing them for the tournament run.
And the team right now is 10-3 after 13 games, which is a huge accomplishment with that much of a schedule. Matt, did you have fun, my friend?
I had a blast, Alex.
Absolutely. I did too. Man, Matt Tyler and Alex Cook with you here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see if we can have a couple of guest hosts on over the next couple of weeks here as well. I know that Matt will itch to be back in here next time I call him up, man. Matt, thank you very much for joining me. I definitely appreciate it. And most importantly, folks, thank you for tuning in. I'm Alex Cook with Matt Tyler here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Have a sportacular week, and I'll see you all next week.
Listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.